There's no preacher that's your king. There's no one in the White House that's your king. There's no king. There's no true king in London, England. There's no other king. There's only one king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every other king is going to bow to that king. The Bible says every eye shall see him. Every mouth shall confess that he is Lord.
We're just going to exalt Jesus. Amen. How many of that's what we need to do? You know, and oftentimes you get in a situation where, you know, you think, I don't have a praise. It's hard to praise him. But I want to tell you something. You can praise your way out of your circumstances. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor? What about Paul and Silas when they were in jail? At the midnight hour, how many of you ever felt like you're at the midnight hour? I can't go any further. Am I the only one that's ever felt that way? I can't take anymore. How many of you ever felt like you just can't take anymore? It's just coming at you from every angle. It's just on all sides, and you just can't cope with anything else. You just can't take the pressure. You know, and Paul and Silas were in jail, and they were in bondage, and they were in stocks, and it's a midnight hour, and they said, okay, let's sing a song. Seems like an odd time to sing a song, don't it? Amen. But you guys know what happened when they begin to sing praises. Listen to me. It's not my message this morning, but there is south. Oh, Jesus. Because that's what he wants to do. If he takes your praise, he will take your victory. If he takes your praise, he will take your joy. But as long as there is strength in you and there's breath in your body, and again, you may not feel like it, but when you start to lift him up, I'm not just talking about in a worship setting. I'm not just talking about in a corporate setting. I'm talking about when you're driving down the road in your car. I'm talking about when you're in the privacy of your home. You open your mouths and you lift up the name of Jesus, because see, Satan knows he can't praise him. He knows. Do you understand? I just gotta go here, Judy, just for a second. Do you understand that there's three archangels created in heaven: Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And Lucifer's position in heaven, if you will, he was a leader of worshipers. He was worship. If you study it, and I know this is kind of hard for us to fathom in our finite way of thinking, but if you study it, actually there was music that just came from out of his body. Just came right out of him. If you study the scripture there, it gives, I don't have time to go to it, but the scripture tells us that, you know, and he worshiped God, and he led the worship in heaven. He was a leader of worshipers out of his innermost being. See, he was cast out of heaven. His lightning fell from the sky. He was cast out of heaven, and he can no longer praise God. So that's why he fights praise so much. He can't do it, so he wants to steal it from you, because he knows the power in praise. God inhabits the praises of his people. He dwells there. He'll come into your situation when you start to praise him, you start to lift him up. He will show up. Amen. And there's power in that. So don't let him show. Lift up Jesus. Lift up Jesus. Come on, somebody say it around. Somebody shout his name. Somebody say Jesus. You know, y'all probably think, you know, I may ask you to do that a lot, but you got to open your mouth. I can't praise God for you. I can't do your praising. I can only praise him for myself. I can only lift him up for myself. You have to lift your voice. You have to lift him up. You have to exalt him. Amen? All right. Are you with me? Are you with me? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Jacob, try to track with me. I know I didn't give you my verses this morning. I apologize, but just try to stay with me for those that may not have their Bibles this morning. Luke chapter 1. I had read these scriptures a while back, but I'm telling you, the Lord just began to speak things to me, and we were at the conference this weekend. How many believes God wants his kingdom here on the earth? Oh, hallelujah. Frosty, we're not just sitting around twiddling our thumbs waiting for Jesus to come. His kingdom is now. Oh, I said the kingdom is now. The kingdom is here. And we're just waiting for the king to come to to consummate what's already been started. Amen. It's here. It's, you know, James, what's the scripture say? The kingdom of God is within you. Amen. The kingdom is here because Christ came and he died. He arose on the third day and he ascended back to the Father, and he brought the kingdom to us. Amen. Now let's read these verses. Luke chapter 1 verse 26. Hallelujah. Somebody say thank God for the word. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. All right, sounds like a Christmas message, don't it? To a virgin, his spouse, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, casting her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not. Amen. What? There's a message within itself. I'm telling you, when Christ shows up on the scene, fear is supposed to be gone. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's such an attack on people's minds today, and anxiety and depression and oppression and panic attacks and all these things. Amen. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall, I remember when I preached that message, he shall be great. Amen. Let's say that together. He shall be great. And is he not great? Oh, let's say it one more time. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne, amen, of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. I'm about to blow up. You guys can tell I'm excited about this word. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Do you realize that God was the first and the last, the beginning and the end? He's everything. Once he sets something up, amen, he starts something. He's the first and the last, Judy. Amen. And what he says is gonna prevail. He set his kingdom up, and his kingdom's not going to have an end. Amen? Are you with me? Mary said to an angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Keep going. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. This is Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Y'all know the scripture when Mary went to give the announcement to Elizabeth, the Bible says that the babe leaped in her womb. Amen. And was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. John the Baptist. Ed, you should know all about that. I'm dying for you to come up here right now and just say, Behold the Lamb of God. Repent, you generation of vipers. We did a Christmas play at Mola's church for a number of years. And, it was portrayed the life of Christ. And I played the part of Christ at that point in time. Curtis ended up later doing it. John, you played John. That's right. Many people were in that play, and Ed, my brother-in-law sitting there was John the Baptist, and boy, they fixed him up good. You know, he had that look, that camel's hair, had that burlap sack, and the wig, and all that, and he'd walk out there and say, "Repent, you generation of vipers!" I think people about jump out of their skin. You know, But when I walked in, Scott, when I would walk in that particular scene, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Listen, you know, under the law, all sin can do is be covered. When Jesus came, he didn't come to cover sin. He came to take away sin. Amen. For he came to take away sin. How's this going to happen? Look what the word says. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, you got to let your faith arise. Is it possible for the economy to turn around in this area, Pastor? Oh, I know we're struggling. I know Coles. Listen, I'm still speaking blessings over our natural resource. Come on now. I've heard enough negative speaking. I've heard enough people saying, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen here? What are we going to do here? When this happens, that happens. When this happens, how about when God shows up? Amen. How many believes he can turn things around? I'm speaking by faith, amen, that the world is going to look. Listen, you know, the enemy's trying to press this region down. Oh, man, there's a message in that. But God's going to show himself to those that are faithful. He can provide a table and a window. So let me hurry. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we ask that you add your blessing to your word. God, speak to us and let your will be done is how you would direct and guide me this morning, Father. We just honor you and we praise you. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And the whole church says, amen. Now, what I want to focus on too here and, this morning is, you know, you got to understand that what God came to do, God's going to do. Nothing's going to change that. He who has begun a good work shall finish that work. You know, how many sometimes seen people start projects that they never finish? Some of y'all may be like that. You don't have to raise your hand. You're just procrastinator. Yeah, you start things and you got four or five projects started. You know, and if you ever notice, usually the best mechanic, his car's always tore up. The best carpenter, he needs work done on his house. There's things he just keeps, I need to fix that, but you just keep putting it off. But you see, here's the thing. God has spoke a word and he is going to complete what he started. Amen. He's going to complete what he started. And see, what the word says here, of his kingdom there shall be no end. And he's going to sit upon the throne of his father, David. Amen. Do you realize that David, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself. Let me slow down here just a minute. Wanda, you got to look at me. Wanda's slows me down. We were listening to Damon Thompson last night preach, and I'm telling you, that guy, it was just like, man, you was just trying to take it all in, you know, and the way he was quoting scripture and so fast. And she said, he sounds like you quoting scripture. You know, he needs to slow down because, you know, I get started and I'll even leave words out, you know, and you're probably saying that ain't what the scripture says, but I just get so excited that I'm quoting it so fast. I'm a little bit hyper, brother. You know that. I've always been that way. And, I'm trying to do better. I'm getting older. I'm slowing down a little bit. Hannah Tom. You know, and I gave it to Jacob. Bless his heart. I told him the other day, I said, you know what? And I'm speaking this word over my son right now. Listen, he's going to complete the work that God started in me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm speaking that by faith. Amen. There shall be no end to his kingdom. Now, how many knows every kingdom needs a king? We talk about the kingdom of God, you know, and if you study kingdoms, every kingdom has a king, you know. Listen, there was a baby just born in England. What? How long ago has it been? 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, whatever. What's his name? George. It's a funny thing. Oh, Brandon's downstairs with the kids. We were talking about this guy that he was in a church and this guy looked at this other guy and said, I think God wants to change your name. How many knows God changes people's names? He changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. He changed Simon's name from Simon to Peter. He changed Saul's name from Saul to Paul. It's a change of identity. When God changed, it wasn't just about a name. It was changing who they were. But he said, this guy looked at his own and said, you need another name. God's going to give you a biblical name, and it's George. And he said he went home and looked and looked and looked in the Bible. And he called his pastor. He said, Pastor, I have looked from the cover to cover, and I can't find George in the Bible. All right. But there was a baby born in England. And it's destined to sit on the throne. Right? At some point in time when a few people pass. Amen. He's an heir to the throne. And you got to understand, and people get so caught up about that. They get so, man, they're just engrossed. Listen, we better be getting caught up about this king. There was a baby born over 2,000 years ago. The angel gave the announcement to Mary and said, he shall be great. He will sit on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. And you got to see what this meant to the Jewish nation, to Israel, to the Jews. You see, they had wanted a king. If we go all the way back to Samuel, and they said, "Give us a king." God wanted to be their king, and they said, "Give us a king." And so God grants their wish. If the people want a king, give them a king. So Samuel anoints Saul. You realize if you study the anointings in the Old Testament, there were 12 anointings in the Old Testament. Saul was the sixth anointed in the Old Testament. Six is the number of man. He was man's choice, if you will. David, being the seventh, is what? God's choice. Amen. It's man's choice and God's choice. It's the flesh and the spirit. Which one are we going to follow? We're going to follow man's choice. And listen, there's a message to the church in this hour. A lot of people are going after man's choice when you better be seeking the face of God and hearing what thus says the Spirit of the Lord to the church and going after God's choice. Help us, Lord. Don't let a person distract you. Don't let a man, don't follow a man's ministry. I tell you guys all the time, don't look at me. Listen, I'm no better than you are. I'm just somebody that God is using to deliver the word and to equip the saints. But it's not about me, amen. And it's not about any of these TV preachers, amen. Don't get caught up in TV preachers. Damon Thompson last night, he was talking about TV preachers, and he was talking about watching Christian television. And he said, I can't hardly watch Christian television. He said it almost makes me say curse words. And we're like, what's he talking about? He said, when I watch it and I know I shouldn't watch it, and he said, and I get in the middle of it, he said, I say, Damon. He's talking to himself. He said, almost makes me say cuss words. So don't get caught up in Christian television. Don't get caught up in men. And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, can I preach the word to you? We're talking about a king that sets up a kingdom. And if you want to see this area blessed for Jesus Christ, how many wants to see revival poured out in the Appalachian Mountains? How many like to see something just come through, just blow through the Appalachian Mountains, an awareness force of God like we've never seen before? I'm not talking about just social gatherings at church on Sunday morning. You can come into church and sing four or five songs and hear a little sermon and take up an offering and go home, but nobody's changed. I'm talking about something, James, that's something that shows up to where drug addicts walk in the door and they can't stand under the power and presence of God. I'm talking about something where the drug addict set free and the prostitute set free, where the homosexual, you want homosexuals in your church, Pastor? You better believe I do. I hope they show up at the door. And this is being recorded on television. I'll preach the word as long as there's strength in me. God, send them in and let the power of Jesus set them free from the bondage of homosexuality. It's, you see, I gotta just preach this to you the way the Lord's speaking it to me. We're talking about a kingdom. And what's happened is everything, the kingdom of darkness, Dwayne, has come against the kingdom of light. And there's an ever-increasing battle. And if you don't see it, you've got your head stuck in a bucket. It's intensifying. What you're seeing with homosexual marriage and we're aborting babies. I don't know the statistics and the numbers now. The numbers are astronomical. And you know they're talking about gun control. I'm gonna try not to get political here. Help me, come on, elders, keep me in line. They're talking about gun control and gun kills kids, and we're killing babies like 400 some an hour or something. You know what? You know what's up with that? Guns don't kill people. I heard one guy say, "Guns don't kill people no more than McDonald's makes people heavy." You got to eat the food. You got to eat those two Big Macs and a Biggie Fry. Amen? It's the truth, ain't it? But you see, we're talking about the kingdom of darkness coming against the kingdom of light. And we got to keep our focus on who he is. We got to keep our focus on the real true king. Now, let me get back to where I was. They said, "We want a king." Okay, God says, "All right, you want a king? I'll give you a king." And so Samuel anoints Saul as king over the people, right? And y'all know the story, how, you know, what happened with Saul and he was made a king to judge and to reign over them. And, Samuel was actually displeased with the request of the elders of Israel. But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people that may say unto thee, for they have not rejected you, but they've rejected me, that I should not reign over them." So they want another king. So, you know, he was up to this point, God was actually the king over the nation of Israel. But the elders of the nation of Israel weren't satisfied with this. They wanted to be like the pagan nations and have an earthly representative of authority, a kingly figure, somebody to judge and to reign over them. But as again, Samson wasn't pleased with this request, but they weren't rejecting him. They were rejected God. So just as Moses set the example for Joshua, Joshua was to have been the example for all of future leaders to follow. They were not to be kings. They were to be a council of equals. Amen. A confederation of tribes who had come from a single earthly father, Jacob, called Israel. And their loyalty was not to be to a king, it was to be to God. He said, I'm getting somewhere with this. A kingdom needs a king. The real kingdom needs a king. So Samuel anoints Saul, and Saul's not a good king. And you go through all these kings, and you have good kings, and you have bad kings. Then all of a sudden, we get to a point, and what they are looking for, David, do you realize David is still considered the greatest king that ever sat on the throne in the nation of Israel? Amen? And what they were looking for, why they got so excited about this announcement, "He shall sit upon the throne of his father David." They were waiting for somebody of the lineage of David to sit upon the throne of David. And all these years passed. Now all of a sudden, Randy, there's this announcement that Jesus is coming. Amen. You know, here's somebody that's coming, and he's going to sit upon the throne of his father David. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart. He ruled in the Lord's will, and he followed the leading of the Lord. Now here we get up to the point to where Jesus comes. Now let me tell you something. The Jews, God always wants to restore things back to what he intended it to be in the beginning. In the beginning, if you want to know God's plan, just go back to Genesis. Amen? And this was all messed up through sin. Amen? But now Jesus comes on the scene. What they are looking for is a king to go up and sit on the throne and to reign over them. At that particular time, Herod was the king. Do you understand? That's why Herod wanted to kill him. The prophecies. That's why he killed every child 2 years and under. Because he wanted to kill somebody that was going to take his throne. Listen, Jesus was not about taking Herod's throne. He's not about sitting upon an earthly throne. He's about sitting upon the throne of your heart. Woo! I said, he's about sitting upon the throne of your heart. Amen. And now Jesus shows up on the scene. And they're like, okay, we've got a king. He's going to rule in politics. He's going to rule in government. He's going to be an earthly king. And Jesus is like, you're missing the point altogether. Jacob, get ready. I'm going to show you the scripture. What's it say? It says, he shall reign. 33 says, he shall reign. Go to 33. He shall reign over the house of Jacob, which is Israel forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. And we're talking about him reigning and reigning and reigning, and not in a political sense, but in a spiritual sense, and setting up his kingdom. Amen. And everybody knows we are part of that kingdom. Somebody say, I'm part of the kingdom. I'm going to say it again. Say, I'm part of the kingdom. But you see, here's the thing. People are turning away from the real king. Amen. Can you not see it? Oh man, I wish I had time to preach, Dwayne. I wish I had time. People are turning. We have everything in the world going on today. Oh, I'm about to get excited. We have all kinds of religions going on. They're rising up everywhere. We got the Church of Scientology. You know, we got all this junk that's going on out there in the world. You guys know I don't get called up in denominations, but listen, these are false doctrines. I'm going to tell you something. There's even preachers today that don't have enough about them to stand in their pulpit or to come on national television in front of a worldwide audience and stand up and say, Jesus is the only way. But I'm going to tell you something. As long as there's breath in this pastor and this preacher, I'm going to tell you that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. There's no other door. There's no other way. He is the only way. Daniel, he is the only way. We talked about this yesterday. He is the only way that men can get to God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the help, and he's a present help in time of need. He's the one that gives us strength when we need strength. There's a lot of false idols out there. I'm not even going to mention them in the pulpit, but I'm going to tell you something. I'll just say this. There's one that's trying to rise up and take control over this nation, and people are turning away from Christ. Can I just tell you the truth? Can I preach the truth? I'm talking about a kingdom and the difference between light and darkness. Do you realize that there was one real well-known, I gotta tell you the truth. You are my sheep and I'm here to protect you. There's real well-known pastor that said he thought that Christianity and Islam should come together and call it Chrislam. It's the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of light. It's a battle. Listen, what's going on right now, folks? This ain't, James, you gotta help me, brother. Listen, this is not about Democrat or Republican. This is not about what your political partisan is. You know, some people get so caught up, bless God, I think some people get so caught up that if Satan himself voted one of those parties, I'm not gonna name one because you'll say, well, he's putting that one down. But they would vote for him. Well, my daddy voted that way, my papa, my great-grandpa, and they have no idea what the issues at hand are and what people are standing for. But I'm telling you, you better get in the book and you better be praying because there's a war going on right now in the heavenlies. And we know, oh hallelujah, we know who the winner is. I'm ahead of myself, Dwayne. We know who the winner is. I got to stop. I got to take a breath. We've read the end of the book. We know who the winner is. Somebody say, we're the winners. Come on, say it again. You got to get that in your spirit. We're the winners. We know who the winner is. Amen. But see, here's the thing. Satan is trying to get everybody he can because he knows he has a little bit of time. The Bible says if he would have known who Jesus was, he would not have crucified the Son of God. He knows what's happened. Now he's just trying to get everybody he can to join the kingdom of darkness. But when we rise up in the kingdom of light, we destroy the kingdom of darkness. Where darkness is, when light comes on the scene, darkness has to leave. I said when light comes to where darkness is, darkness has to flee. Are we shedding light of the kingdom? It's a good question. Hey, remembers. Used to, you had these light bulbs that you pulled a chain. Who remembers pull chains? Oh, come on, you're going to tell your age. You know, you didn't flip a switch. You had a pull chain. You know, you tie a little longer string on it. For the short people, is that what you said, Judy? Listen, don't lose me. We had a friend of ours, they told a story on this guy. They said that he was so afraid of the dark. You know, he would pull that string, you know, and try to jump in the bed. The light went out. You know, he finally done, he tied a string from the light over to his bedpost. Lay down. We've seen people do that. You know, but the point being made here is, you know, when there's darkness and you, it's time to shine some light on the darkness. Oh, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it might give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's time, folks, there's a battle between darkness and light, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. It's time for us to turn some light on. Amen. Come on, it's time for you to turn some light on. Don't shy away from the word of God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, this church here, we're not ashamed of the cross. Oh, I'm about to preach. There's churches, I heard one church that took the cross out of the church. We talked about this yesterday because they didn't want to offend anybody. If the cross offends you, I'm sorry, you got to deal with it. The scripture says, without the preaching of the cross, to them that perish is foolishness, but to us that believe, it's the power of God and salvation. I'm sorry, without the cross, there is no salvation. Amen? All right, let me try to finish this up. Help me, Lord. I'll say this. He's going to get his glory. I said he's going to get his glory. Amen? There was a prophecy foretold that a king would come to Zion in Jerusalem. Jerusalem having salvation and riding up on a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jacob put up Zechariah 9:9. I want you to see this. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Somebody here needs to hear this word. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king coming unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Amen? That's prophetic of Christ. Right? Now, you got to see something. He came down from the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley and through the Eastern Gate. Everybody say Eastern Gate. Now, everybody, you know, they were expecting this big pomp and circumstance and all this, you know, the glory and all this stuff. And they throw out these palm branches. Y'all know the scripture on Palm Sunday. And here he comes riding a donkey. And they're laying these palm branches and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, Hosanna means, it means save now. They were looking for somebody to come save us. Save us from these religious leaders. Save us from the law. Amen? Save now. And they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And here he comes down off the Mount of Olives, down through the Kidron Valley, and into the Eastern Gate. Humble. Lowly. Riding on a donkey. Not something, that's your king? That's your king? Is that who is supposed to come and to lead his people? Now, Jacob, I want you to put up Ezekiel 43. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, something's getting ready to happen. God's getting his people ready, Judy, for one more great outpouring. The third great awakening is getting ready to come to this area. I believe that with every fiber of my being. And God's giving people an opportunity. And those that are hungry are going to flock to the house of God. Amen. We're going to get in the Word. Help us, Lord, to get in the Word. Help us to pray more. Somebody say we need to pray more. Come on, somebody say we need to pray more. Damon Thompson said last night, said there was a preacher. Man, what a convicting message. Daniel's just powerful. He said last night, he said that there was a preacher told him, when you're talking about hitting you, there's a preacher told him, Frosty said that Facebook and Twitter were proof to God right now that Christians had time to pray. He said, when people say they don't have time to pray, check their Facebook time, check their Twitter time. Now, I'm not preaching on you if you Facebook and Twitter. I'm not, but I'm saying we got enough time to do all that mess. We got time to pray. We got time to read the Word. Oh, help me, Lord. How'd I get here? Daniel, come and help me. You're going to finish part two of this next time, okay? Is that all right? Ezekiel 43. Remember, he came down off the Kidron Mountain, the Mount of Olives, the Kidron Valley. Scott through the eastern gate. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looks toward the east. Behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and the voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Get ready. I want you to sing that song again. You'll know which one I'm talking about. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to the shore of the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Chebar. And I fell upon my face. Keep going. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. Everybody say toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Get ready for the glory of the Lord. And I heard his glory is going to fill the whole earth. And I heard him speaking to me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said to me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor kings. He sets kings up and he takes kings out. He sets them up and he takes them out. He's still in control. He put this thing in motion. He can stop it at any time he wants to stop it. Don't get so worried about what's going on today. God's in control, and he has a plan, and he's going to fulfill that plan. Just keep looking to him. Amen. Because he's the author and the finisher. Shall the house of Israel not defile neither by their kings nor the whoredom nor by the carcass of the kings in their high places. This is a prophecy of the coming king, the true king, not one that man has set up, but the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now go to Ezekiel 44:3. One more verse. Get ready for Psalm 24. Look here. It is for the prince. He shall sit in to eat the bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate and shall go out by the way of the same. Now, let me tell you something. There is a belief. Oh, man, I love this. By the Muslim generation, the Islam. I got to preach you the truth. Can I preach you the truth? I'm going to anyway. There's a belief that if they put a cemetery in a certain spot, that a Jewish priest won't walk through that cemetery. Now, around 500 years ago, in 1517, when the Turks conquered Jerusalem, under the leadership of one called Suleiman Magnificent, He commanded that the city's ancient walls be rebuilt. And in the midst of this rebuilding project, he ordered that the eastern gate be sealed up with stones. They sealed the eastern gate and they put a cemetery in front of the east. I can show you pictures. I've showed it here in church before. There's a cemetery in a Muslim cemetery in front of that eastern gate. Amen. Now, you got to see this. The scripture says that when he returns, he's going to come down off the Mount of Olives. He's going to go through the Kidron Valley. Amen. And what's going to happen? Put Psalm 24 up there. What's going to happen? Happen is, see, they've sealed that thing up, Scott. They've sealed it up. And what's going to happen is when he comes through that gate, amen, that thing's going to burst open. And he ain't going to be no riding on no donkey throwing palm branches in front of him. It's going to be the king has showed up. He's on his way, amen. Look at this. Ooh, oh, glory. Oh, you got to see this. Hallelujah. This your verse. This your verse, ain't it? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Am I in the right verse? I gave you the right verse. Keep going. It's a good one anyway, ain't it? Who shall ascend the hill? Who shall stand in his holy place? He has clean hands and a pure heart, and has lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of him that seek thy face, O Jacob. Now, I that's not the verse I wanted. Let me find it in my notes. Oh, I know it anyway. I'll just quote it. The psalm says, oh, lift up your gates. Verse 7. Thank you, Dwayne. I'm there. There it is. Somebody say praise God. Lift up your heads, O you gates. And be you lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Keep going. Keep going. Who is this King of glory? Oh, kingdom has a king. Somebody needs to get excited about a king. I'm telling you. Now listen, don't get mad at me. There's no preacher that's your king. There's no one in the White House that's your king. There's no king. There's no true king in London, England. There's no other king. There's only one king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And every other king is going to bow to that king. The Bible says every eye shall see him. Every mouth shall confess that he is Lord. Every knee's going to bow. Oh, if things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Hitler's going to bow. Oh, hallelujah. Every enemy of the cross is going to bow. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. One more verse. Look, it repeats it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So again, when he comes down, he rides. Can't you see it? Can you get a picture of it? This is, what's old brother? What's that brother we listened to tape? That's my king. Oh, can we pull that up, Jacob? Can we pull it up? That's my king. Get ready. Jill, sing that song.